Welcome, welcome, everyone. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening since the first of the year, usually at the very bottom, the last half hour, the bottom of the hour in this show, on Wednesdays, I do a little segment called Over the Hump and Trump. Because one, it's Wednesday, and two, we all need to get over Trump and talk about something else for a little while. It is a segment that is meant to connect us, share the things that we love, all experience some apolitical joy, hopefully together. Today, we're taking that segment right now at a special time, and I'm joined by my colleague at Civic Media, Greg Gunderson, avid outdoorsman. He's coming to us from WCQM Park Falls to talk about the amazing Birkebeiner cross-country ski race, the Wisconsin tradition extraordinaire. Welcome, Gray. Thanks for making time.
Thank you so much for having me, Meg. I appreciate the opportunity.
So for the city slickers who may be listening, and I count myself lovingly amongst your number, though I would also like to count myself an avid outdoors woman, tell us what the Birkebeiner is. It is having its 50th anniversary. So amazing. What is it? Why is it such a big freaking deal here in Wisconsin?
Well, for a couple of reasons, Maggie. The Birkebeiner in its current form is a ski race. That's the shortest, simplest answer. It's a really long ski race, and it really is a globally popular ski race. As with anything, if you're going to do it to the extreme, you're going to attract attention. You're going to attract a global audience full of people who solely exist to challenge themselves in those weird ways that happen when you leave humans alone for too long on the planet.
Yes.
They come up with things like 50-mile ski races and things like that. But if you want to actually answer the question of what it is or where it came from, it was actually a baby skiing down a mountain in a war. Which I know, just zoom back.
I did not know that. Tell me more.
Very quickly, and I've got a brief version of this. During the 1200s, there was a civil war happening in Norway, and there was a group called the Baglers. And the idea was they wanted to stop this young prince from succeeding in becoming king. That prince was named Håkon Håkonsson. A couple of the warriors who were tasked with protecting Håkon were aware that, hey, they're coming to get this baby. Like, it's a baby, but they don't care. They're coming for him. So we need to get out of here. What's the fastest way? If you're at the top of a Norwegian mountain, I don't mean to stereotype, but what's your fastest way out of anywhere? A pair of skis is going to be an option on the list. So that's actually what they did. A pair of warriors took a baby and skied across mountains. And here's the fun part. Birkebeiner. That refers to birch bark. They wore birch bark leggings.
Oh,
birch bark leggings. Their clothes. Their clothes were made out of tree bark. Wow. And that's the kind of material and equipment they had to save this baby, which they did. They saved him. He goes on to unify Norway, ending the war that almost got him killed as a baby. And so a few years later, as in 200 years later, people were like, hey, we should commemorate something that cool. And it's steadily turned into this global network of races. I think there's something like 7 of them across the globe that happen all over the place. Continents.
Wow. Basically. That
yes.
is. Listen, I thought getting my pair of Salomon, like custom fitted cross country skis back in like the second grade was a big deal. I also had to get like adult size skis because I was freakishly tall back then. So I digress. Nothing like a baby going 50 miles on a pair of skis with some birch pants.
There's
I'm never going to look at a birch tree the same again, Greg. I got to tell you.
There's a party atmosphere involved these days, Maggie, than I think probably was before, back when they were saving lives. But nowadays, what happens is basically you've got two cities in northern Wisconsin, or two very small towns, one would say. You've got Cable and you've got Hayward. And Cable is basically the starting point. Hayward is basically the ending point. You've got 50 kilometers or more, depending on the race. And people are starting all the way up at this elevated spot and actually finishing their race in the main street of Hayward, Wisconsin. That's where the finish line is, actually just a couple blocks from the offices of one of our affiliate stations there in Hayward, WBZH, where we'll physically be on Saturday watching people just zooming right by us on their skis in the middle of downtown Hayward. I mean,
drinking a hot toddy. I mean, you got to have the adult beverages. Like, this is in Wisconsin. It's not just the skiing and the outdoorsmanship of it all. It's also, you know, the drinking part. Hey, Gray, would you mind? We got Jim from Brookfield. He does the Berkey every year. Jim, say hi to Gray for me. Tell us how much you love the Berkey. Are you doing it this year? Are you excited for it?
Yes, I am doing it. I have full Berkey fever. I've been going up there 28 years. I've skied over 20 of them, some Cordalopets as well. And I just want to say thank you both, hello to both, and thank you for talking about this statewide and civic media, because after going up there several years, I've noticed that anybody south of Highway 10 in the state of Wisconsin doesn't know much about it. North of Highway 10, it's a big deal. But in the Milwaukee area, southeast Wisconsin, I'm like, hey, I'm going up to do the Berkey. People kind of
look at you like, what?
Say, what? Yeah. So anyway, thank you for the exposure. It is a big deal. And it's not just for the skiers. My kids, when they were little, they did the Barney Berkey.
Yes.
That's a little kids race that's the Thursday before. It was great. Friends have come up. We cook warm meals. Of course, afterwards, we have good food and drink. It's just a fun weekend. And from a skier's point of view, I can just say there's nothing like hitting Lake Hayward at the end where it's level. It does seem to go on
Thank
forever,
God.
But you see the big musky fish, you know, to your left as you're coming up behind the supermarket. You hit Main Street, there's the cowbells, the torch. It's nothing like it, Megan, and for the audience, it's one of the best experiences, you know, in my life. And when I did my 20th, you have a big 20 on your bib, and everybody's cheering and calling your name.
Aww.
It's just remarkable and a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Jim. I love sharing the stories. I got exposed to the Birkebeiner. I've never raced it myself. Maybe that'll be something like for my 50th birthday, like make a point, because my birthday is actually coming up. It usually coincides with the Birkebeiner. So that is always kind of fun. So maybe I'll make it like life goal to do it when I turn 50. But I was exposed to it because my best friend's dad skied it a few times, and my family was a cross-country skiing family. And let me tell you, he showed me his toes one year after the race. Ooh, Lordy, put them dogs away. Bloody lost a couple toenails. I mean, great. Tell folks, this is quite an athletic endeavor, is it not?
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the best ways to highlight how important it is and how extreme it is that a lot of people know that last year, the Northwoods of Wisconsin received disaster relief loans because the lack of snow impacted businesses to that degree.
Right.
There was no snow in the Northwoods last year, which not zero. I don't like absolutes, but you get my point. It wasn't very cold up here. They actually moved in, begged, borrowed, and stole enough snow moving and, snow generation equipment. That's the word.
Yes.
They made enough snow to create a loop trail that was, I think, several miles long. I don't know if we still got Jim, maybe he could confirm exactly the mileage on that trail, but it was huge. They were able to replicate a 50K race with an abbreviated loop trail by making the snow themselves. So if you want to talk about the dedication, when it wasn't going to happen because Mother Nature canceled it, they said, nope, humans
nope,
are going
we're
to
doing
it
this.
Yep.
We're going to
do the people way.
I remember logging that last year, like, oh my gosh, they have to make snow for the Birkebeiner. Like, this is a real thing. I wanted to also cue in and ask you, Gray, not just about the athleticism of the event, but does it draw people from all over the United States, globally? Are you seeing all kinds of folks there? And listen, if you are from southwestern or southeastern Wisconsin and you have never had the privilege of going up to the Birkebeiner, put it on the bucket list. It is really something to experience. It's so amazing. Such a sense of shared joy. So first question to you, Gray. Where are the contestants coming from? Do you need only sign up? Do you have to qualify for it? Is it like the Boston Marathon?
So there's actually a pretty friendly application process for something as well attended as it is. And it is well attended. There were estimated over 12,000 participants last
Wow.
year. For perspective, the town of Hayward has permanent residents below 2,500 in the last census.
It's tiny.
Yeah, and that's the participants. I'm not talking spectators. That's how many skiers there were last year. So keeping that in mind, they're coming from all over the entire country. I mean, I think there are a couple similar events that are a little more accessible if you're from the entire West Coast or anything like that. But for example, last year, two of the featured participants were the first gold medal winners on the U.S. women's cross-country skiing team, Olympic team.
Wow.
They were the first gold medal winners in that event, and they were there, and go figure, one of them won it last year at the Birkebeiner, but who else expected anything different when you've got those kinds of people up there? But what really blows my mind, Maggie, about the event is that there's a certain tone to it, and there's no political nature to the event. In fact, I think politics are shed at the door by most people involved, which
yes.
is admirable, but I wanted to touch on the fact that the Birkebeiner, those birch bark leggings, that was a derogatory term. That was a term not used by the people who did the skiing. It was by the people who they beat in the war, the sour grapes. That was kind of the flavor of the sour grapes after that Civil War, was those darn Birkebeiners, those darn birch bark wearing barbarians. And now, this long later, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the tone of it, what made it unique, what made us unique, what we were able to draw from it and keep true in the Northwoods. And I think that's part of why it found its home here, because there's a little bit of a singularity here, but there's the opportunity to ski. So there was the opportunity for solidarity, too.
I feel that. And I think that the idea of the perseverance, resilience, toughness of Wisconsinites, especially folks that live in the northern climes, it is definitely a rallying cry and certainly reflected in this origin story that I never knew about the Birkebeiner. So thank you, Gray. Tell us a little bit more about some of the different events. It's not just the skiing event. We've heard that there's a shorter course for adults. There's also a kids course. What else is going on up in Hayward?
Actually, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to imagine what kind of business discounts and specials that are running. But imagine, you know, actually, Maggie, one of the best ways to say it is imagine what Black Friday used to be. You remember when people like actually used to have something to fight over on Black Friday? Like people used to die in Black Friday events because there were deals that would like cause crowd crushes. It's not that extreme, but
No one's dying, right?
Oh no. It's a sign of something, good or bad, I don't know. but in Hayward, it's that level of enthusiasm, not mania, yes, but enthusiasm. Forgive me, a bit tough to find the word. There is that level of excitement, and I love it because you can't find that level of happiness anywhere but at a wedding. You know, you're at a wedding and everybody knows there's no sadness here. That's kind of what the Berkey is like. Everybody is there. Everybody can trust that we're all there for the same reason. And does it mean that you know everybody? No, there's like 30,000 people in town. But you know that everybody just cares about skiing and that you've got a common interest with everybody in town. How often can you be surrounded by 30,000 people and know that you have a common interest with all of them and it's not a political rally? I think that is like a unique
baseball games. Baseball games, Gray. I love me some baseball games. Concerts, Gray. Love me an outdoor Alpine Valley festival.
I didn't think about that very hard.
Yes, that's all right. That's what I'm here for. It's a team effort. Folks, if you're just tuning in, I got Gray Gunderson coming to this The Maggie Dawn Show and to each and every one of you from WCQM in Park Falls. We're talking all things Birkebeiner. It is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Folks have been skiing 50 miles for 50 years in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. It is a sight to behold, and it is today's installment of Over the Hump and Trump, a segment that we bring to you usually at 3:30 every Wednesday. Today at a special time because we've got a special guest at 3:30. And in that segment, we try to have some of what Gray's describing here, these shared moments of joy, connection to one another in a way that is completely apolitical. Gray, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about winter headgear and the fashions of the Birkebeiner, because, oh, that is good fun as well. I also want to talk to you about some of the great non-winter things that we can do in Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods and our state parks, because there's so much good going on in Wisconsin. Maybe we'll share a story or two. So we're going to take care of a little bit of business. Maybe I'll tell you about the first time I did a hell of a long cross-country skiing trip with my folks. I made it, but there was maybe a little petering out a few miles in. We'll talk about all that and more with our special guest on this installment of Over the Hump and Trump with Gray Gunderson. My name is Maggie Dawn, the host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. And Jim from Brookfield, thank you. He said the man-made loop last year was 10 kilometers or 6.2 miles. Thank you, Jim. Back with more in just a moment.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Every story matters. And the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson. The Milwaukee historian and teacher travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, and so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Berkey fever, got me here as a beaver. Got me waiting for winter, got me praying for snow. Berkey fever, I'm a true believer. Just get me to the start line, I'll be ready to go. Get me to the start line.
If it is winter in Wisconsin, and it's late February, it is the Berkebiner, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And in this half hour, a special edition of Over the Hump and Trump, we're talking all things Berkebiner, celebrating its 50th or 51st year, depending on who you ask, up in Hayward, Wisconsin. I'm joined this afternoon by Greg Gunderson, coming to you and I from WCQM in Park Falls. Thanks so much, Greg, for making time. So tell us about the 50th, 51st year controversy, if you will.
I think there's pretty good agreement that it is indeed the 51st, but there's kind of an asterisk. There's, you know, when you can hear a capital letter in people's speech, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. It's like I heard that asterisk there. You clearly think that last year didn't count, because to be fair, last year almost didn't happen. Up until early February, the talk was, will there be a Berkey? And when finally it was announced that yes, there would be, then there was another question. Okay, what version of it? And it was several days later that finally there was an announcement. But I will say, I think there's probably pretty a good agreement, and all the official documentation is that this is the 51st. But I will entertain arguments. I won't shut you down if you want to tell me it's the 51st. I'm with you. I respect your right to think so. But I do disagree with you. It's 51.
It's 51. Thank you, Dave from New Berlin, Carl from Eau Claire, and all the folks on the text line giving the Berkey some love and fact-checking me when I get things wrong. It is appreciated. Are you a cross-country skier, Gray? Is this one of your outdoorsman activities?
No, I have cross-country skied, and that is how I know I am not a cross-country skier. I was able to confirm quickly that I was not the guy, because when I hear skiing, I think downhill. And when I don't have it, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I need gravity.
So I am not sure exactly why, but my family was a family of cross country skiers. And we, back in the day when Milwaukee County had plenty of snow in the wintertime, there were all kinds of groomed courses, even in and around Milwaukee County. And then often my family would take some trips up to the Door Peninsula and other Devil's Lake area and do more cross-country skiing. The longest I ever did was, I think, a 6 mile, which isn't all that long, but I was like 10 at the time, right? And this was an incredibly hilly course. And if you have never cross-country skied, it is a little bit of... It's not the most intuitive body movements, and there's all kinds of different ski strokes that you can use. People have all kinds of fun names for all of them, and especially when you're going up hills, which is really, truly a stinking workout. And the thing you figure out if you've gone cross-country skiing for more than 5 minutes is do not wear too many clothes because you will be sweating. It is a freaking workout. And it was on this longer ski trip that we had done, or one of the routes that we had done on a trip, where it is, I blame my parents for my lifetime of terrible right ankle problems, because I absolutely destroyed my right ankle about a half a mile from the finish of the trail. And that was it. I was like 10. So I've been hobbling around on this busted ankle. I blame my parents. Thank you very much. But they gave me the love of cross-country skiing. So if you're not a cross-country skier, Gray, and I've been told, again, avid outdoorsman, what are some of your favorite outdoor activities up in your neck of the woods?
Well, the biggest one, I'm a fisherman. You can catch me. I'm a bank fisherman specifically, because I'm too broke to have a boat at the moment. I don't have a spot to put a boat. But because of that, I'm a bank fisherman. So I've got a backpack and one rod that I try to use for everything that I possibly can, which is pretty awesome, because we've got a wide range of game fish, from things that you can barely feel on a heavy rod to things that you can't catch on a light rod. So trying to use one can be a little bit fun. Other than that, though, honestly, mushroom hunting. My girlfriend and I.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, yes. It's once you break past the don't touch any of them of mushrooms
mentality. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Which, to be fair, I will say is the safe mentality. But also the first thing you learn is that you can chew on any mushroom in the state and it probably won't affect you negatively. Like, there's a spit and taste. There's a right way to do it. Don't go eat mushrooms, people. I'm not saying that. But well, seriously, even the worst ones, you taste them to see what they are.
Are we going to get like some inadvertent psilocybin, whatever the, but like trippy stuff? I joke, of course. I don't
think. Probably not.
Probably not. Okay, that's good. Great. Before we lose you, we got just a little bit, like 2 minutes left. I wanted to talk about this, the headgear of the Northwoods. You and I are big, big fans of a hat known as the Stormy Cromer. You have one on right now if you're watching on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. What is the Stormy Cromer, and why is it the best hat for the wintertime athletics?
Two great questions and one perfect answer. It's a hat that's designed to stay on your head when you're on the outside of a train. A guy by the name of George Cromer went by the name Stormy. He was a train conductor and frequently lost his hat. And so, well, George, and I'm glad we get the opportunity, because George's wife gets the credit. She made the hat. He complained about the problem. She fixed it. Let's just say that out loud. George's wife, and forgive me, I don't know Mrs. Cromer's name, but she invented a hat with this neat little flap that drops down below my ears. And in doing so, holds the hat more tightly to my head. And so it's confirmed I could wear this outside a train and I'd still have it after the ride.
And it is warm, warm, warm. They are fabulous. I was introduced to the Stormy Cromer, yay, lo, these many 5 years ago. And I am a convert. I now have two of them. I have a Stormy Cromer dog jacket for my tiny little dog, Finny. And we lean into the red plaid variety. You've got your sport in the green.
Green for me, sorry.
We'll have to quaff an adult beverage with our Stormy Cromers on sometime, Gray. And I can't wait to talk to you again about all things outdoors in Wisconsin. I appreciate your time, my friend. Folks, you're going to want to keep it locked. We got State Senator Sarah Kieski coming up. She's from District 4. She's going to tell us what her legislative priorities are for her first term in our state Senate. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get me to the start line. I'll be ready to go. Get me to the start line. I'll be ready to go.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show,
oh,
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Transform your outdoor space with David J. Frank, Wisconsin's award-winning landscape management company for 65 years. You've seen their beautiful work at Hilldale Shopping Center. From expert lawn care to seasonal flower beds, precise trimming and sustainable solutions, David J. Frank makes your vision a reality. And right now is the best time to prune or remove trees. Request your free quote today at davidjfrank.com and get on their list for spring cleanups. David J. Frank, 65 years of excellence in every blade of grass.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Some Republicans, including Senator John Kennedy and former Vice President Mike Pence, speaking out against President Trump's false claims that Ukraine is to blame for Russia's invasion. ABC's Patrick Revel says it comes a day after the U.S. and Russia meeting about ending the war.
I think what's clear, increasingly we are seeing that Donald Trump appears to want to put intense pressure on Volodymyr Zelensky. I think we're seeing this call for elections and accusing him of being a dictator, which, of course, is incredibly ironic, given that we are talking about Vladimir Putin, who hasn't had an election, a fair election, in many, many years.
In Kentucky, floodwaters have yet to recede from the weekend storms, and now residents are dealing with snow and freezing temperatures. Cases of the measles still on the rise in Texas. The majority of 58 cases are centered in Gaines County, where vaccination rates for children have dropped in the past years. This is ABC News.